Hey, this morning we have a guest joining us on the phone. Jimmy Ryan is with us. He is a rock and roll legend himself, but he's going to talk about some of the rock and roll legends and some other things, too, at the Corning Opera House coming up in a show Saturday, January 13th at 7 p.m., and he's actually got another show coming up at the Corning Opera House as well in early February. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. Jimmy, thanks for spending some time with us. I appreciate it. Tell folks about the show on January 13th.
January 13th is going to be really fun. It's a very unusual show because it shows a side of music that very few people understand or often don't even know about. And that's the backup team. You have the front runners, the Carly Simons and the Justin Biebers, all the people like that. But behind them is a group of people, and especially in the recording studios, that you don't get a chance to see very often. And that's the studio musicians. I'm one of those people. I had the great honor to be given the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. And I also had the honor of inducting Carly Simon into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was her guitar player for 21 years. And in 2022, Olivia Rodrigo and I inducted her into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So anyway, this show is about what the studio musicians do. We're the musical hair and makeup guys. Artists like Justin Bieber or Rod Stewart or Paul McCartney, they usually come into the studio with somewhat unfinished songs, and it's our job to sit there and come up with guitar parts, come up with bass parts, come up with hook lines, lines that catch your ear when the song first starts out, solos. I had the honor of playing the guitar solo in Carly Simon's You're So Vain, and that's what Olivia Rodrigo and I played at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But that solo was not part of the song. Carly gave me a cassette. That's what we used in those days, a cassette to take home. And I listened to it, and I came up with the solo, and brought it in, and we recorded, and, you know, that became part of the song. So this show is a bunch of songs, and I take you through, like, a little journey of first how the song is originally brought into the studio. I do a bunch of songs that you're familiar with. And then I show you how each musician added a little part, and the song becomes more and more familiar until finally you have the final song, which I perform. That's part of the show. Another part of the show is I'm an author. I've written a book that's, I'm proud to say, has a 5-star rating on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's available all over the world, and it's maintained its 5-star status for over 2 years now. And I'm going to read a chapter from that, which is my personal relationship with these stars. The book is it's a fun book. It's not just, you know, the parties and the drinking and all. You know, it's nothing like that. It's just my conversations with these stars and their anxiety about performing sometimes and my anxiety about performing and the fun times that we have. So I'll read a chapter from that. There'll be an opportunity to get an autographed copy of the book. But mostly it's just a fun, entertaining show. It's light, it's musical, and I hope a bunch of people come and see it. It'll be very enlightening. It's very educational.
Yeah, it's
That's
funny.
The one show.
Yeah, it's funny. Artists go into the studio and they spend months and months and months working on, well, what we used to call a new album. But, you know,
sure.
And people wonder, how can it be? Why don't they just go in and just record it and just do their thing? But you're giving them a look through the back door to see how actually this all comes to play.
Yeah, in the old days, I mean, take the Beatles, for instance. They had been performing quite a lot in Germany. And when they went to do their first album, they just set up mic, play guitar, and they knocked out an album in one day. You know, they had a great engineer and a great producer, George Martin. And that was the old days. And then as they got further and further into their career, then they started writing in the studio. And that's when it was days and days. One of the funniest things that all of us, even the studio musicians, when we heard this statistic, we went, are you kidding me? And that was Steely Dan spent, I think, a day and a half, maybe 2 days on a bass drum sound. Can you imagine 2 days of boom, boom? Nah, that's not it. Put a little more lows in. Boom, boom. Can you hit it a little bit harder? Boom, boom. 2 days. So that's the modern way. And, of course, a lot of musicians have their own studios now, so they can spend as much time as they want. I mean, the studio equipment now is just a micro fraction of what it used to cost because it's all on your computer.
Right.
You know, you don't have to buy big machines, 24-track tape. you know, all that stuff. It's all inside the computer, very easy to use. Sounds even better than the very expensive equipment of days of yore, although that's an argument we could get into.
Very true. So this show, you will kind of show them how songs took shape. They'll kind of maybe sometimes hear how they sounded when you first got them, and then they'll hear how they came around to what they recognize?
Absolutely. That's what the show is. And it is a musical show. It's like a musical talk show, like a musical TED Talk or something like that. It's part educational and part musical and part literary. So, yeah, it's got a lot of stuff going for it.
Very good.
Fun show.
Yeah, very fun show. An
opportunity that's the one show.
To learn a little bit. Yeah, that's the one show. That's on January 13th. That's just one. You've got
right.
another one coming up in early February with a group that you put together here recently that you didn't put it together recently, but something that you discovered here recently. Tell us about Commotion.
Commotion, as I was saying before we hit record, I still do get together with some local musicians, and we just play on Tuesday nights. It's our Tuesday night jam. We used to call it playing cards, but one night we were just fooling around, and our lead singer, Steve McClain, started singing like John Fogerty, and it was amazing. It was so good. He had all the gravel and all the expression. We were all saying, whoa, where did that come from? So we started just goofing around playing some Creedence Clearwater songs that we knew. And it sounded so good, and we were having so much fun. We said, let's do this. Let's go out and do a tribute to Creedence Clearwater Revival. So we learned their catalog. We made a party tape, and we sent it to an agent friend of mine. They said, absolutely, we want to represent you. So now we have an agency. Our bass player is a very successful graphics designer. So he designed a logo. He designed a photo. Then we got local theater here, the Stephen Sondheim Center for the Arts, to loan us the theater to do a real legitimate video. We hired a videographer, a 5-camera shoot. So we have a video now. We've got the logo. And we're doing it for real. We've got a couple of dates booked, and one of them is the Corning. And now it's New Year's. We're going to start booking it for real. So that show is going to come up, what did we say, February 3rd, I guess it is. So we got the 13th. You get to find out how records are made. And on the February 13th of January and on February 3rd, you get to dance and sing and have fun.
You know, there are bands out there that do covers of CCR, but it's difficult because such a unique sound with John Fogerty's voice that everyone recognizes right away. Some struggle with it quite a bit, but boy, if you hit it right, you can really have something special.
Yeah, I wouldn't do this if we weren't hitting it right. You know, I've had the great pleasure and opportunity and honor to play the Albert Hall in London. I played with Paul McCartney. I played with Rod Stewart. I played with Elton John. I spent years playing with Carly Simon. I wouldn't do any project unless I thought it was really, really good. And this one is really good. Both of them are good. Both of these shows are going to be a lot of fun. I guarantee you'll enjoy them.
You bet.
Promise.
Well, Jimmy, you've had a chance.
Promise.
That's a tough one. Jimmy, you've had an opportunity in your career to play with some big stars, to play in some giant venues and the historical places. Why do you enjoy getting into these places like the Corning Opera House?
It's fun to play smaller places. The gigantic places, you can't see anybody. Yeah, sure, it's a lot more money. In my case, it's not, because I was always a backup musician. I wasn't the big star who was getting, you know, 92% of the ticket price. I was on salary. I was doing that. So for me, the big places are just huge places. It, you know, it's kind of awesome to see, you know, just a swarm of people when you play. But it's also nice to actually see people's faces. And to see the smiles, which you don't in these gigantic places. Unless, I guess in Taylor Swift's case, she would go out on that long ramp and the people would be right by her feet. So that worked. But that's just like a handful. In the smaller places like the Corning, we can see everybody. And it's really nice when you make eye contact and you feel their excitement. And it generates the excitement in you. You actually feel that, and it becomes a duet between the audience and the artist. So I love playing smaller places. I think it's really fun.
Well, it also opens it up for questions, too.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. There can be conversations. In my show, I actually have a Q&A section you know, towards the end where, you know, what would you like to talk about? Does anybody have any questions? And that's always fun because people always have interesting questions. I've never had anybody say, well, did you ever really, that never happens. It's always, how did you do this? Or how did that person do that? You know, it opens up a whole new conversation.
Excellent.
So yeah, small places.
Yeah. A lot of fun. It's
just one thing. I remember back in the late 70s, the Rolling Stones were about to go out on a big tour and they decided just for the fun of it, they would book this small venue. I forget what it was called, but it was in New York City. I think it held, 180 people or something like that, just to kick off the tour because they wanted to do exactly what I'm talking about. They wanted to see the people. They wanted to talk to them. They wanted to be right there up front with them. So they started their tour with a little, I don't know whether it was a lottery or an invite only. It wasn't a music industry thing. They wanted fans. They didn't want record company people and execs and all that. And it was a great way to start their tour off.
Awesome.
So yeah, small venues are fine.
Well, it sounds like you've had a lot of fun in your travels and journeys and opportunities over the years. It's fun to get out and share that experience with others.
Yeah, I've had both. I've had the upside and I have plenty of the downside.
Welcome to the music business.
I don't want to leave any false impressions. Yeah, welcome to the music business. Exactly. Welcome to touring.
You bet. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. The band Commotion, February 3rd, that'll be at the Corning Opera House. And also coming up on Saturday, January 13th, 7 p.m. is the show Heroes Behind the Hits and Tales from the Legends of Rock and Roll. That's all coming up with Jimmy Ryan. Hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy some of that. And check out the book while you're there as well. Jimmy, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Good luck with the shows.
All right. Thanks so much, Jim. Nice talking to you.